Welcome, everyone. We are very pleased you could join us at this session. We see that many participants joining us from various parts of the world, far away from Dublin or even Ireland. You are so welcome. Our speaker, Oleksandr Buratinsky, who will be presenting on Scrum at War, is an organizational consultant, certified agile professional, certified Scrum Master, and has over 10 years of international expertise of embedding innovation into organizations and helping them to achieve results by following agile values and principles. He also is a founder of a startup called T-Travel. Oleksandr?
I will tell a bit about the context, about what we had like a bit more than a year ago in Ukraine. The situation, like we have a full-scale invasion that was consisting of 2,100 different troops on the borders of Russia and Belarus coming from those borders. More than 2,800 like battle tanks, a lot of armored vehicles, you know, thousands of armored vehicles, artillery, missiles, aviation, etc., etc. So they were coming from a lot of directions, from north, from east, from south, actually, from occupied Crimea, from occupied Donbass. So it was, you know, it was a lot. And I woke up at 5 a.m. Everything was, you know, on fire. So it's I'm still in Kyiv, you know, and I never left the Kyiv. And it was a shocking experience. What actually helped us to with the situation to survive and to start winning? So the first aspect is communication as transparency, right? The key factor was to prepare the telecom providers, to prepare the networks to be able to hold, to withstand, and to have like backup generators, etc. So another thing, as you know, there was a Starlink. It was added to actually to armed forces afterwards. But first, kind of hours of the war, they were like very intense and very important in terms of communication, in terms of people sharing information, like president, office of the president, representative, they actually came out and said, we are here, we're with you, and we are going to win, we're going to defend ourselves. And I have a story about the commander-in-chief, you know, General Zaluzhny, maybe you know him, he's like, what was important about his communication, his decision? He trusted a civilian to aim our artillery. So basically, the situation was like that. The airplanes, you know, helicopters and troops, Russian troops, they were coming to Hostomel. It's northwest, I would say, of Kyiv. It's an airport that is very near. Our biggest plane in the world, Mriya, was standing there. And it was a good spot for them to capture, to, you know, just bring more and more troops there with the planes. You know, it was a key spot for them. And it was very crucial for them to capture. But we bring, you know, the most important, most successful, you know, forces of ours, like of Ukrainian forces there, and started to shell it with artillery when they actually came there. And like in the command center, right, the commander-in-chief was asking, you know, we need the eyes there. We need to look, we need to see, because of the fog of war, because of, you know, a lot of people, you know, died in the first minutes, and we just had no one to aim us. And people started to call who was there and found the person. He was basically the civilian who was standing near the window and like seeing, like in 1 kilometer of seeing this airport, and was just aiming. Okay, guys, you missed that. Now it's better. Try a bit left, and you know, he was just given some hints, you know, that we're allowing our artillery and our forces to you know, to hit right in aim. So basically, that was mind-blowing decision and mindset shift for many generals. That commander-in-chief trusted a civilian, but it's a good, it's really good kind of key takeaway for the business and for your culture, where you are. It's to trust your people, like prioritize all sort of communication. You know, give people the context, give people understanding of the problem, and trust your people. That is very very important. Yeah, we're talking about communication and transparency. So key factors, what we had in the beginning is preparation with telecom providers and backup plan. So in first minutes of full-scale invasion, like occupied forces, they wanted to reduce this communication, you know, they want to shut down the system and no one knows anything, you know, everyone is blinded, fog of war, nobody understanding what is happening. But you know, they failed to do that. The president in the first minute came to all and said that I'm with you guys and girls, you know, I'm here, you know, all the people that you need, you know, all the government is here, we're with you, we are together, you know, let's fight, we will win. And this is one of the important lessons and important of the observation of mine, right? It's a, you know, like some strong will and strong vision and communication, very like sometimes it's reactive, but sometimes it's proactive, because our president is actually communicating each day, already more than a year, about the situation, about, you know, like some achievements, some work that they are doing. It's very clear. Sometimes it's high level overview because he cannot share details, obviously, but it's very important. You know, many people rely on that communication from president, from our army. They basically counting how much they like enemy tanks and like infantry they destroyed. So that's this kind of good thing, you know. And if you take it to your life or to your business, I would say the key takeaways: prioritize all sort of communication and trust your people. Next thing, it's self-organizing teams. How does it relate? Yeah, maybe you are thinking how it all relates to Scrum and Agile. So it's one of the things that we have in Scrum, like one of the entity, it's self-organized team and self-managed. So we actually did the same, you know, and still doing the same, you know, small groups. Or we are forming small groups of people that can act autonomously, but with a vision or with understanding the main problem, right? So the second story is about that, like Russian army couldn't occupy like Kyiv from eastern side because they stuck in Chernihiv and Sumy, and we have even a joke that in Sumy. The you know like second army in the world would come to Berlin, you know, easily, as they said, you know, but they stuck at Sumy, you know, fighting with 10 people with the rifles. So it's like it's just how it was, basically. One person, like without any communication with commander in chief, decided to give guns, again, trust the people, the baseline trust, to give the guns for the those who can handle the guns and those who basically they studied in a facility, you know, like it's kind of an army facility, army college, I would say, and give a guns, and they basically stopped the like, not couple, 10 or 20 tanks, right? They just stopped, and they basically gave others time to think, to understand what is happening, and to give additional guidance. So it's like about one of the principles and one of the things that we have in Agile Manifest is like current situation. I've rephrased that. It's like current situation over contract negotiation, over like waiting of what we need to decide or like what command will say, like current situation, and autonomous, you know, team can decide what they do. If they have this constraint, like we need to win, right? We need to survive. We have the common goal. We have shared goal. And another thing is Battle for Kiev, like sort of story, right? You can read it in Wikipedia. There is a big article in the Washington Post, but I don't want to share a link. Maybe you will find like better explanation in Wikipedia. It's very sufficient. So when huge amount of tanks and armored vehicles came, you know, from Belarusian border, and they started to move to the Kyiv. Our army used like small groups that consist of like driver, you know, one person with rocket launcher, like a LOR or something like that, and you know, some person with a drone or someone who can actually see what is happening. And they shut down the beginning of this, you know, column, the end, and then they started to just shoot at the big, like in the middle they had fuel supplies. So basically strategic move was that small groups, they are faster than this big length, you know, column of tanks and armored vehicles, and they can move, they can shoot and then move again, shoot and move again, and they stopped a lot of you know, tanks and armored vehicles in such a way. So, and still the same thing was when we were liberating the Kharkiv region. It's actually the attack was from many sides, and we decided to move through to the second line of defense, you know, just moving through first to this already in the second line of defense, and occupied you know, Russian forces, they just ran away, they just started to run because they were scared. It was from many directions with smaller mobile groups. So encourage the key takeaway from this, right? Encourage small groups, initiatives, and decision making, right? It sounds very vague, maybe in manifests, in like from agile speakers, but on practice, you can see it in action that it works at the crisis and in wartime situation. About volunteers. Next thing we had volunteer phenomena. You know, amount of initiatives is actually, you know, it's surprising. We had some support from business, you know, all the business is just, you know, just like still donating, still, you know, prioritizing and giving money for army, for like they are buying some stuff for forces, for huge, you know, initiatives, like I will tell in later about like renting the satellite, for example. So it's the main thing, and I have a bit of information how it went actually. So we rented satellite and what, so what problem we were solving. So it's like huge business support, ambassadors abroad. Like the people just took initiative with the, like in their hands. I remember in the first days I was in Kyiv like for the whole time, and I remember Kyiv is very empty, but the long queue like of volunteers that want to go to the army, you know, want to take gun and want to defend their country and want to survive. I remember that I just came there. I stand like I was the 53rd, and I decided, well, okay, maybe I will be more. I will bring more value in different ways. So I started to make, you know, food, like bring some power banks and such stuff. Now I'm only donating, but I had like two projects of people that need to be also guided, how to move, how to relocate, how to proceed with their working. So it's like a lot of people just weren't volunteered. Maybe it's because we already had like the Revolution of Dignity, Maidan, all the stuff that people believe that they matter, right? They actually have this ownership, they have this commitment. Again, why it's about Agile, about Scrum, this Scrum, we have values, right? We have this courage. We have this courage and we have this openness and a lot of words about commitment, right? So if people believe that they have it. So they went and they decided, okay, I will bring some clothes. I will bring some stuff, I have money. We can buy radio stations. We can buy medicine. We can bring the medicine. So we can bring cars. So it's a lot of those initiatives, they are still ongoing. And, I think that my observation is that because people took those kind of tactical, smaller tasks, how to get clothes for our, army, because we had reduced budget. Military budget, right? Our government, where they managed to focus on bigger initiatives, to ask for some ammunition to large parties of some armored vehicles. So they focused on strategic stuff that are more pricey, and people were because people volunteered, because people covered a lot of smaller tactical initiatives around the country. So it's I think it helped a lot. And about the volunteering stuff and about crowdfunding. So maybe maybe you don't know. We the Ukraine is a country crowdfunded for Bayraktars, big unmanned drone, and eventually Bayraktar said that okay, we will give it for free, and we rented a satellite with the technology ISI, and it resulted. So basically the report appeared only today, so I just put it here. It appeared that because of this satellite, we were managed to identify 360 tents with Russian troops, and 7,321 different items of military tech. So from them, it's 45 airplanes, 27 helicopters, 6 Iskanders, 36 C300. C300 is very it's very, very dangerous thing, because it's ballistic rocket that flies with huge speed, and it's very hardly you can fight it with anti missile defense. So and I think that it's already showing very good results, and basically it's people crowdfunded this satellite to help to survive and to win, to bring the victory. So it's it was a decision of people, and it was a decision of volunteers with constant communication with military, right, with army. So what the key takeaway is: share your vision, define your goals, and when people understand the threats, they will find resources or get creative with solutions. That's for true. In my practice, agile practice, my teams are asking why I need to talk to customer, why I need to go to talk to sales, or understand what support is doing, right? And on practice, I'm showing them that they. We have vision, we have clearly defined goals. And when you have this explanation of the problem, you can get creative, you can define solution as you want. There's so much of empowerment in this. And empowerment is a key thing and in Agile and in Scrum. So yeah, constant learning is the thing that also, you know, we have this feedback loop in Agile. We are saying that, yeah, team should learn. We have this cycle of, you know, retrospectives where we are sitting and understanding what we did, how to improve our way of working, how to improve our product. So it's like reviews. It's all about the feedback. And, you know, the world showed that we were prepared to learning constantly. So we were learning ways to survive. So basically, I see a lot of civilians that are still working, right? You know, on their workplaces, but we are meeting on the shooting range, right? We are still preparing to hold a machine gun. We're still preparing, you know, how to understand some army commands. We are still learning how to operate different types of vehicles. So basically, as you know, I bet you're helping, you know, a lot with what you can, you know, all of the European countries, democracies, United States, you know, not only, you know, Australia from APAC region, everyone, you know, is giving different type of weaponry, different types of weapons, new machinery, and it's like different army generals. They say that it's logistic hell, right? We need to actually understand how to operate with all this stuff. But we are open to this, you know. We understand the goal, and actually we understand how important it is to learn more and more about different types of new things, and how we can use it on a battlefield to solve the problem. The problem is actually, you know, to survive, to defend our country, defend our lives, not being, you know, enslaved and so. So yeah. That's a lot of learning, but we understand the importance of it, and we are trying more and more. Of course, there are examples of people who are still in army and still working like they're in Soviet era. But for example, we have initiatives like together with Agile coaches in Ukraine. We're spreading a NATO format called After Action Review. And it's basically the retrospective for an army, right? We are enhancing and we are bringing it to different types of troops, of Ukrainian military troops, to give them the tool, the instrument that they can use. So yeah, it's basically to have constant feedback loop. And you know, that experience from instructors abroad, our guys and girls, they are all around the world. Basically sharing the experience, right? They're saying what they already saw, and the instructors from the States, from, you know, Czechia, from Poland, they say what you didn't know, here's what you didn't know, and here's what how you can use in your context. It's very important. So the key takeaway here is to review the speed of your learning of in life or your organization learning, right? And fix your feedback loop. That's very important. System thinking is history about why we actually were able to stop the very, very, very big amount of forces, because they had 10 times bigger amount of artillery, right? We had HIMARS, from the United States. They provided the HIMARS that were basically aiming the ammunition, the warehouses with ammunition for Russian artillery. So system thinking is basically to see what's around and to hit in a logistic chain, in communication, in ammunition warehouses, right? We don't need to actually confront, you know, the artillery machine itself, or the infantry, or the battle tanks. We need to have them lose the ability to shoot, That is a system thinking, right? And that is important to see your, basically the key takeaway, right? To see your system as a whole and what influenced this system more, you know, like a strings, you need to pull one string, you see what is happening, where is the loop, like that is enhancing our ability and what is decreasing our ability to innovate, to learn, you know, to produce the valuable product. So about Sputnik, about satellite, I already said. So it's also the holistic approach. We have satellite, we can see the whole battlefield, we reduce the fog of war, and we can pick the spots where we can, bring not the most harm, but reduce the ability to attack, right? Because we are defending our country. So constantly enhance ways of how you see your system with all dependencies and their influence. That's a key takeaway for me here. Way of servant leadership. Even we didn't know that our current president would be such a great wartime leader, right? We didn't a lot of things we didn't saw what he did inside the office, right? How to like decision making process, etc. But now a lot of people are sharing that he's enforcing a discussion, right? So it's like a facilitation. It's like what we have in Agile principles, like what do you have, like Scrum Master for, enhance and enforce discussion. So we want to listen to the people, what their opinion, and basically alternative opinion matters, right? Like we can like combine this in a better solution. And that's what the good leader do. Yeah, he's not, saying what to do. He's kind of, again, trust people around him and bring the value from, sometimes very very different opinions. Another thing is engaging with partner to obtain new resources. So people are saying, okay, we cannot defeat the enemy. They are bigger with those resources, but we need that and that. And he was acting like what I called an opening leader. Like he's opening the opportunities, you know, going to the partner, say, we need this and that to provide this type of operation, to be able to defend ourselves, to cover the sky because our civilian infrastructure and civilians are dying, you know, and children are dying. So he was constantly in this communication, you know, like sometimes it was like 20 hours a day, so sleeping only 2 hours. And he's emphasizing the vision of greater good to increase collaboration. It's also inspiring, you know. And this is a way of good servant leadership. Be there to inspire, be there to hear others, you know, and unlock new abilities and new possibilities. So key takeaway for me was and observation is instead of command and control, you know, seek for opportunities and encourage new leaders. If you're a leader, and I know, you know, I strongly believe that agile coaches, scrum masters, managers, you know, all of you, you're leaders, you know, and so that's very important. And the people first, you know, that's a principle that exists in our army and doesn't exist in army of our, you know, enemy. So we save lives and then regain what is lost in terms of territory, you know. So like it's, I've seen it with my own eyes and such a big amount of videos of how people save people and people prioritize people. Like they leave their cars, they leave their, you know, stuff closes, but they and not only people, actually, it's also pets, you know, and like a lot of, we have it's like special, like in Telegram Messenger, we have a special channel, but it's about like Ukrainian army and cats. And it's like, you know, it, like 1,000 videos a day with, you know, cats that were found by army, and just they defend them and they bring them to a place where they where it were warm, you know, warmed it up, warmed them out. So it's like it's a very it's inspiring, and you know, it's very interesting that when we focus on people first, we start to define and create things that. That are keeping the lives. So it's unmanned surveillance and reconnaissance, like drones, unmanned medical evacuation, unmanned landmine removal. So about surveillance, and basically we have like, and volunteers plus, we have already 15 types of different drones that were invented, that were not exist a year ago and were invented by people, our people, and they are already serving in our army. So basically with pilots, right? 15 types, and a lot of different types are still in progress, in development, etc. So basically we need to see the situation first. We need to be able to go there without losing people's lives, and it defeat the enemy and defend our country without losing people's lives, because people matter the most for our army, for our community and society. Yeah, so key takeaway here is your people is your environment, basically. It's what brings and what forms the culture. And consistency of strategy, right, is like a couple of examples. Ukrainian diplomats use the crisis as an opportunity window to become EU candidate, yeah, a European Union candidate, and make reform supporting will of the people. You know, it's like it's a lot of effort on the diplomatic front, you know, engaging to renovation before the war is over. It's like some people, you know, are saying, you know, why we should, like, tactical thing, and again to business, why we should test before the story is ready by like product manager, product owner, right? And here is like, we are engaging in renovation before the war is over. So it's like mind shifting things, you know. Of course you can go there, you can ask about things, you can ask about user behavior and bring the more valuable increment to, you know, to the place and the more valuable product. Green initiative is very, very interesting thing, because there was a Holodomor in Ukraine, right? And we decided that ethically and morally we could not allow other people to starve as we starve. Our experience was just like that. And so there was a grain initiative to share the grain, you know, and we're still trying to, you know, just to keep it going while Russia is blocking this initiative, and creating peace formula and contours of new security, not only for us, but all of the countries. Because of the incident, we decided, you know, okay, us, that's good, but all of the people, all of the world, how we can do anything about it. So those consistency and strategy, you know, strategic thinking beyond the war and going farther in the future, it's really, really important. So use your ethics, morale, and look for opportunities even harder in crisis, instead of pure survival mode that our body, our mental state is used to. Yeah, and I bet that, you know, Ireland have very common things. So representation of things from that we also have in Scrum, like in Agile, eh? We, very similar things in culture. We have courage and commitment in our blood. Ukrainian is a nation of rebuilders. Yeah, we restored a lot of times after losses holding our own identity. So it's first it was like Russian Empire, then Soviet Union, Nazis, then Soviet Union. Now it's Russia. So we are still rebuilding. Democracy. So like we know that respect can be earned only if you hear people, and we have like one of the first constitutions by Filip Orlik, and it's like we respect the opinions. We actually, one of the things that is included in Agile methods, right? Respect the opinion of others and respect the like cultural difference, but you know, the opinion, each opinion is matters. And the freedom, we are open to any opinion, but reserve right to do as we want. Like we actually wanted to live in peace and be like free in terms of our own decisions, and how we want to live, where we want to go, which kind of unions we want to be in. You know, it's like we have some borders. It's borders from year 1991, and we actually want to stay in those borders, and we want to be together. You know, so that is what I wanted to say for today. I see that something in the chat. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to say. I would appreciate your questions or opinion, anything that you want to say. We'll be glad to hear it.
Yeah, and everybody can unmute yourself. So it's a self-organized group. So if you want to talk, just feel free to unmute yourself. So I might start because I have actually one question.
Yes, yeah, please, John.
So you know what? I think one of the misconceptions around Agile is like the self-organization. So it's absolutely mayhem, mm-hmm. and you know it's ad hoc, and everybody runs, you know, different mm-hmm. direction. But alignment, mm-hmm. obviously, it's very important. So self-organization happens within some kind of constraints that leadership gives. So I thought you were, you know, going back to the slide you were talking about civilians getting guns and so on. So mm-hmm. I've heard that actually your government at that time, you know, there was a ban on selling alcohol to make it to increase, you know, the success of that self-organization. Is that correct information?
Yes, it wasn't. I don't know if it's about guns, right? Like the guns were, like, the people are giving the guns. Yeah, and it's correct. The government banned the alcohol, and it wasn't actually something that that was like a huge problem. They saw that it's something similar goes in the Russian army, and yeah, that's correct that it was a constraint. That's what's correct. It was a constraint. It was more kind of related to ethics and morale, right? And kind of a like relationship that many people decided to be sober. Actually, they banned that for, I would say, a month, and then they started to unban it. So yeah, they just tried.
And like, and after that, people decided to be sober. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they decided to be sober, but just government decided, you know, that may happen in our army, you know, like we see that in armies it can happen, but because like in Russian army, it's, they can be, you know, very unsober, I would say, and they can be, you know, friendly fire, and they decided, let it be, you know, we are the army, let it be, you know, this constraint, but they see that people, they are not drinking, you know, they want to be sober to be able to react very quickly, to make quick decisions. And yeah, I know like a lot of, it's maybe my information bulb, you know, but I know that everyone I know, they still are not drinking. They're drinking like zero alcohol beer.
Thanks, Alexander. I have a few questions, so let's move
sure,
on.
Sure.
So Owen, I think you were next one.
Yeah, please.
Hi, Alexander. Listen,
hey,
really inspiring presentation. Thanks very much for taking the time to come online and do it. It's really, really impressive. And, you know, I wish you all the very best. We had Kiev Ballet here in Galway last weekend, and the Swan Lake, and at the end of it, they came out and sang the national anthem. And, you know, my gosh, shivers went up your spine. It was fantastic. You know, so well done. Just a question on, you mentioned constant learning there, and, you know, people running through a kind of a PDCA, kind of plan, do, check, act kind of system, but a sound of things. I'm just wondering how the learning is being shared, you know, across the different groups. How are you doing that? Yeah.
So, a good question. Thank you. Thank you for this information. I'm really proud of you know, people that are sharing in our culture. You know, they're going to the world. Our artists, basically, yeah. They are out there, and they basically keep inspiring other people. So in talking about us a bit, you know, but inspiring other people more. And so, yeah, basically, we, as I mentioned, we have the community of agile coaches that are spreading after action review. It's one of the examples, but you know, most of the examples are. It's not so chaotic, I would say, but we have communities here and there that are organizing themselves. Okay, we have this initiative, right? We need to go and prepare for the worst. Let's learn the tactical medicine, for example, and it goes for the spread. You know, it's spreading across. All the businesses, for example, and people say, "Oh, yeah. Let's share with our people and say who is interested." Yeah. So a lot of things are basically going in Telegram chat. It's one of the most important thing for us right now because it's like communities are just creating and from scratch, and they're spreading around those communities, and you know, the reposts from community to community, and it goes like a chain reaction. So of course, word of mouth, I think it's the most efficient still mechanism to spread the word. Yeah. I hope I've answered. It's one of the examples.
Yeah, the use of Telegram is interesting. Yeah, and sharing what works. Yeah, great. Thanks. Very best of luck.
Thank you, Peter. Do you want to go next?
Peter,
yeah, sure. Please. So, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Alexander, for a very interesting and insightful talk.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question about Scrum, because what I've heard is. A lot of the patterns that kind of inspired Scrum, or a lot of the patterns and principles that we practice in the Scrum team.
Yes.
But I haven't actually heard much about Scrum itself. You know, product goals, sprint goals, you know, daily Scrums, you know, kind of where do you see or have you seen, you know, kind of actual Scrum or something more closely inspired by Scrum?
Yeah.
In practice within your work.
They're very good questions. Peter. Of course, in companies that didn't use like agile Scrum methods, they started with the full scale innovations. They started to provide like check-ins, right? The same thing like a daily Scrum, like, and the check-in was always starting from how are you? Like, are you safe? And those are the first questions that we were checking in together in a lot of business. I had two projects, and basically I heard it from like all of the community. So basically, like, we still kept this approach with events, like, we have dailies, we have refinements, we have review, we have retrospective, but you know, some questions they a bit changed. And I have in army, they also started to provide these daily check-ins, like a plan for today, how we handle. Like they had my colleague was serving in the army. Like for 8 months, they introduced them, like in terms of constant learning, the like team agreements, like things that they just print out, like what they do, how they learn, what they learn, like in which order, team agreement, they print it out and put it like in a barrack, in their like room. Where they can like see what to do, how to do, and etc. So their agreement, plan for the day, and then they had basically the small retrospective each end of the day. So it's a bit, you know, a bit faster loop, I would say. But each end of the day, they said, okay, what we did wrong, what we can also learn, what was holding us back, you know, like an anchor. What's holding us back when we are, you know, learning, when we are going, you know, how we behave, how we communicate. So it's constant loop that we're like smaller than actually two sprints. It was daily. Yeah.
Okay. So what I heard is the time frames are dramatically compressed.
Yes.
So
you're thinking in yes. terms
really on a daily basis, not on a weekly basis or a 2 week basis or something
That's
like
correct.
That.
Yeah, sense of urgency was intense, you know.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that you know, Scrum was modeling was this concept of what the Americans call mission command. That is the idea of the mm-hmm. product goal, that's the long-term
yeah.
thing. And then there's the sprint goal, that's kind of what the immediate mission is. And, you know, we want to understand the commander's intent, the overall goal, so that we can best, you know, we get set on a mission, we go out, we do the best we can. Is that kind of leadership style? How would you see that? You know, what most people call, you know, military style leadership is really command and control, stand up,
yeah.
you know, left face, forward march. How do you see the styles of command in use?
Thank you, Peter. That was, I've mentioned it, but you're correct. Yeah, I forgot that you asked about the sprint goal, product goal. That's correct. I was trying to explain that it has its place, you know. The command is basically explaining the situation, explaining our main goals, like strategic goals. And yeah, the team is collaborating across these goals, like what will be the sprint goal, how we can deliver it, basically with the resources that we have, or we don't have resources. So it's not everywhere, I would say. But it's because we still have like this legacy mindset of Soviet era, you know, from here and there. But it's changing, and newer born, for example, I don't know if you heard, right now we are gathering like 60,000 people. It's called how to translate it, like attack squads, something like that. So the newest born, you know, tactical groups, they use that. They use like problem statement, you know, like a product goal, and they use it like sprint goal. What we can do with the current resources, yeah, and what we need actually.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
Gabriel, we have time for one. The last question. Okay, go on.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Thank you for the presentation. I have a question that is an assumption and a presumption at the same time. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming that in a context like that, information is something very, very critical, and you have lack of information, counter information, and
yeah.
Everything is conflicting. And I think from outside, right, in a very comfortable position, I believe that the shorter cycles help to mitigate that problem. Is that mm-hmm. true?
Yes. You are totally correct, Gabriel. You know, like in the news, you see that even some US-based like newspapers, like huge brands, they send very controversial things, you know, tell very controversial things, and a lot of information that's coming from battlefield, you know, it's also, you know, it should be filtered. Like we really have like couple of we have media and official resources, and our sure. official resources, you know, always saying trust official resources, you know, and wait for the information from official resources. And, you know, they are like parrots saying that again and again, and people got used to it. But yet, actually, we first of all, our government showed that they can be trusted. We can rely on them. And then we can, you know, rely on the information that they are sending. And okay, we can, so there are the institutes, special institutes and initiatives that are called like Institute of Disinformation, right? That are basically writing the stories, how they uncover the fake news, like the fake information, where it's going from. And people also learning to this critical thinking and understand how they should approach the information. So this huge work is going on, like under the hood. Because really, you're right. A lot of information is coming. So in this constant loop, and you know, a lot of things that people saw on their own eyes. And, you know, this war is very different from Second World War because of the civilian phones, you know, things that you can capture on camera. It's actually, it's like a kind of a game changer, right? Because it goes from the camera, you can validate the person by face, you can understand what was happening, you know, not the cut of it, but the whole video. If it's, you know, reliable, you can analyze that. A lot of, we have the special initiative, and it's within the government app called DIA. It's called Yevorok. It's like there is an enemy, right? And any person can film something, you know, or report something that is coming. And it helped in first months of war very much, and still helping. So they can film it, send, and then it's filtered by government. Is it true information or something? And then act and decision. And compare a couple of fact-checking, right? Compare a couple of sources and then make a decision. So it's a huge work going on under the hood. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Joanna, please.
No, I just wanted to wrap it up because the time came to finish. So thank you very much for taking the time to sharing those experiences with us, Alexander. It was definitely inspirational for me. It's great to see how Agile actually can help people with their day-to-day lives under in those, you know, very difficult circumstances. So thank you very much again for taking the time.